Directions Magazine. This is Directions on the News for Tuesday, October 28th, 2014. This weekly podcast gives you an inside edge on technology news related to all things location. This is Joe Francica, Editor-in-Chief in Huntsville, Alabama.
And this is Adina Schutzberg, Executive Editor in Somerville, Massachusetts.
Has the world become flatter because of the Internet? Is distance less an impediment to commerce like it used to because the world seems a little closer? In a recent article in The Economist, the notion that the Internet would eliminate geographical distances is debunked. Location may be more important than ever, say some. In today's podcast, we'll explore what role GIS and mobile location services played in the great disintermediation engine that is the Internet. But first, a word from our sponsor.
Directions Magazine is the leader in geospatial technology webinars. If your organization is interested in more sales leads, stronger brand awareness, and positioning your company as a key thought leader, then let us help you deliver a professionally produced live event that reaches a global audience. For more information on both our 30 and 60-minute webinar formats, go to www.geospatialwebinars.com.
Adina, the article in The Economist called Pointers to the Future, I thought was incredibly thought-provoking about how the Internet was going to eliminate big companies, give everyone anonymity, and for the most part become this huge disintermediation engine whereby you cut out the middleman for everything from buying clothes to healthcare, and in the process eliminate geography and distance as an important factor in purchase decisions or whatever. Now we come to find that the real estate mantra of location, location, location may be even more important, as the article states, and I quote, "It is harder to agree with Marc Andreessen, a venture capitalist, and of course who we knew as the founder of Netscape, who once said that by 2020, retail guys are going out of business and e-commerce will become the place everyone buys," unquote. The list of e-commerce firms turning Mr. Andreessen on his head and opening shops is getting longer by the day, y'all, says the article. And as we've seen recently with Amazon proposing to open a new store in New York, and there are many other examples, that this notion of location is really still important. David Bell, a Wharton B-School professor, published a book called Location is Still Everything that was mentioned in the article, where he backs up his thesis by mapping the sales of online products and demonstrating that their popularity first spreads by physical proximity from one zip code area to another, and then by cultural proximity where there are similar social characteristics. So this proliferation of mobile devices, they say, further increases the importance of location. People will use their smartphones to look up local bargains and show friends for their latest products that they found. So that's the premise of the article. From our GIS-centric point of view, we could argue that GIS is responsible for putting location-based information into the hands of many more people, thus creating some disintermediation, but also giving others a distinct competitive advantage, making location unique and valued. So where do you come down on how GIS has or has not impacted the situation where there's more of an emphasis on utilizing location-based information to facilitate commerce or healthcare or whatever?
I think GIS is really just a small part of whatever change we're seeing in how geography does or does not matter. It may seem unintuitive, but all of what you've discussed basically boils down to, for me, we're far more interested in the local, and then there's everywhere else. And we don't care where everywhere else is. I mean, it doesn't matter where Amazon ships us our stuff from. All we know is it's not something I can get around the corner, perhaps, and I'm willing to wait for them to ship it to me. All of the analytics of GIS for the average citizen of the planet, I think, has far less impact than maybe we'd like to believe.
Well, I'm going to have to take issue with that. I would argue that because we have put this information at the hands of more people, because there is a map with every app, because there is the immediate access to location-based information, that it has influenced our decision, whatever it is, looking for the restaurant, looking for the pizza place, the movie theater, or whatever, such that it has, to some degree, eliminated distances, but it's because of this information and the immediacy of this information that it has become more important. And even though GIS kind of sits in the background, I think it has impacted us a little bit more than you think.
And maybe we're on the same side and we don't realize it. Mm-hmm. Now, when you say GIS, you just mean, let's face it, an awful lot of, you know, where is the closest is, you know, dots on a map in the very simplest of analytics. It's not the deep down, you know, people in the basement kind of GIS that...
Right.
Yes, but wow, do they really need more than, in a sense, dots on a map and for most things, crow flies distance, what's closer?
Well, I can argue both sides of that equation. If you look at what GIS has done in terms of making location more significant to whoever, the retailers, the real estate people, they certainly have used analytics more so because I think it is more available to them, whether they're using ArcGIS or Google Maps Engine, whatever it is. I think it's more available to them. Now, do they use it to the extent that they could use it? Is there this deep dive into spatial analytics and spatial interaction models? No, they haven't gotten that far yet, at least my perspective. Some have. But no, they haven't done the deep dive like others have. But I think the access to the information is easier, and thus that's impacted some decision-making.
Access is easier, right. So I guess where I'm going is, I don't know that we needed all of the last 40 years of GIS analysis to have an index somewhere that you can easily access via the internet of what's local.
Mm-hmm.
That's pretty low-level stuff. And I guess what I'm really trying to say is, I think the thing that is the internet is far more important than the thing that is GIS to the way we live our lives today.
Yeah, I guess I would agree with you in that point of view. Let me take a different angle. They mentioned this huge disintermediation and that the internet has become. I think we see this in publishing more than anything. Anyone can have a blog. Blogs that even started off as simple rants have now turned into serious competitive news. And if you liken that to map publishing, there's no secret anymore that to creating maps, right? The web mapping has nearly replaced the printed map, and the map publishing industry has seen serious declines. And so there are those in that area that have tried to make the jump from print to digital, with somewhat successfully, most unsuccessful. But I think GIS technology has radically altered that landscape.
Again, map making or GIS?
But don't you link the two? I mean, GIS underpins map making technology.
Sure.
What about the notion that companies are increasingly treating the physical and virtual worlds as complements rather than alternatives? I found that, you know, bringing that out in the open is maybe somebody people didn't realize intuitively, but now I think are kind of hit upside the head with it. There are Apple stores, as I said, there are the Amazon stores. This was not immediately thought of to happen, as I quoted from Andreessen. We thought that there would be the malls would be dying left and right, which some have. Others have thrived. But there has been this transition to picking your spots and making location more important than perhaps they have in the past. And so I think you see this competitive landscape. And I do think there is intense GIS analysis going on in that regard.
I think there is too. And I think when Andreessen made his prediction, he was sort of assuming the perfectly rational person who would order from Amazon because it's the cheapest, right? And we always want the cheapest. But if you weave back in there the fact that we are human and we have preferences, and in particular that we like experiences, then all that goes away. Because the experience of sitting in front of your computer and picking out the book or the running shoes or whatever it is that you might need is quite different than going into an Apple store or a Starbucks or a physical bookstore And let me just give you an anecdote on that, just because I happened to be listening to an interview with Ann Patchett, the author who owns a bookstore called Parnassus, and her dog works at the bookstore. And when her dog doesn't show up for a couple of days, they get phone calls because people come to the store to visit the dog. Okay? And to put that more broadly, going to that bookstore is an experience. And the location of that bookstore enables that experience. So this whole focus on the experiences that we can get locally is really what's driving all of this. And I think about the way you understand your local town or city, and I'm beginning to think of this more and more, especially maybe as I mature, and that it's a series of experiences that I can have within a few miles of my house. And that's where I spend the bulk of my time. I do not spend the bulk of my time going further afield than that. So I think in that sense, geography is becoming much more important. And those choices that you make are block to block. Do we put our new restaurant here or there? And I watch regularly as restaurants go through my little hoppin' hip town. There's certain locations that are just awful no matter what you put there, even though they're only two blocks out of Davis Square.
So if I understand what you're saying, that there's almost some backlash to what we thought the internet would be, and that we seem to want to tie ourselves a lot more closely to our own geography. We thought the internet was going to expand our mind or expand our access to other things, but really at the end of the day, we like our proximity to our local community more.
That is my observation, yes, and I think we're far less connected to the rest of the world, even though it's easier to know what's going on in Liberia and Syria and everywhere else. But we don't. And in fact, I think on the news side, as much as we like the idea of having access to Al Jazeera and the BBC, most of us are far more interested in the local. And I can't speak to what's happening where you are, but we've got an awful lot more local news happening. We've got a dedicated daily radio show about news in Boston. We didn't have that 20 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And I, best I can tell, it's doing very, very well. Thank you very much, because people want to know what's going on here.
Yeah, well, maybe we've just been inundated with so many different news sources that we do have this backlash where I really don't care that much about what's going on unless it impacts me directly. Certainly, news items like the Ebola crisis or ISIS or things like that, we want to hear about. But eventually it's going to come down. How is this impacting me?
Right. And where was the fire two blocks away? And yeah. What happened, right?
Yeah, I think we are enamored with technology to the point where we want to hear about new things that are happening. And technology brings that information to us a lot quicker. But at the end of the day, our geographic proximity to our neighbors and our friends and our businesses probably has more importance.
Well, and let's go to that. This idea that when I graduated from college in 1986, my very favorite professor told me that I was going out into a world where geography didn't matter as much as when he went out into the world. And that stuck with me as I watched the world myself go through the world. The biggest thing that hasn't changed is that for most people, where you spend most of your time is dependent on your job.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you and I are in a different position where we literally could do what we do from anywhere.
Yeah.
But I can count on one hand the number of people I know who are in a similar position. Everybody else has to be at work pretty much every day. And that is still the thing that drives their world. And part hasn't changed.
Yeah. Well, let's take a similar technological advantage that was supposed to change the world. Given your analogy there, what about the car? The car revolutionized urbanization or suburbanization. And we all thought that was going to expand our ability to travel and expand geography, if you will. The internet had similar prognostications. I would argue that the car perhaps had more impact on our ability to understand geography, maybe perhaps more than the internet has.
I agree, but I also think, I'm going to go back to the term you used, backlash.
Yeah.
Right? The next generation, if it can avoid it, it doesn't want to have a car. And this idea of driving 4 or more hours for something that's not special, we don't want to do it. You know, and some of this, I think, has to do with sort of redefining the quality of life and what we want. And this whole idea of, you know, shop local, buy local, eat local. It's the rare occasion when you get into the car and drive for that distance. Again, I think we're becoming much more tuned into the local.
Yeah, I think you're absolutely right. And I think with the recent economic downturn, we have refocused inward, and we have refocused more locally. What can we do closer to home? There has been a reurbanization. More people want to locate to the inner city areas. They want more access to public transportation.
They don't want to spend 3 hours in the car commuting to their job.
Mm-hmm, exactly right.
And that to me is a quality of life issue right there.
Yeah, but it goes directly to the point where I want to have access to my local community. I want to be more involved with my local community.
I want to walk to the grocery store.
Yeah. Well, that's all the time we have for today. And from us here at Directions Magazine, please consider attending our Geoenergy Summit, November 12th to the 13th in Huntsville, Alabama. Keynote speakers will be the newly appointed director of the National Geospatial Intelligence Agency, Robert Cardillo, and Amanda Simpson, the executive director of the U.S. Army Office of Energy Initiatives. This two-day conference is only $95. For more details, go to geohuntsville.com/conference. If you'd like to comment about today's podcast, you can write to us at editors@directionsmag.com, send us a tweet at directionsmag, or leave a comment where this podcast is posted on Directions Magazine. Thanks again for joining us today, and be sure to tell a friend.